my name is Justin, and I'm an addict. And thanks to my God, the steps, and the fellowship of other addicts, I'm sober one day at a time since June 19th, 2015. And for that, I am beyond grateful. Welcome to the RICO 12 speaker meeting. We are an organization whose addictions include alcohol, drugs, lust, and sex, food, and gambling, just to name a few. We come together from all places, faiths, and backgrounds to learn the similarities of addiction and to gain tools and hope from others who are walking a similar path. We invite recovering addicts. We typically invite recovering addicts with at least 1 year sobriety who are actively working their recovery in their respective fellowships to share their experience, strength, and hope on a live Zoom webinar each Friday at noon Central Time for 20 to 25 minutes. And then the live audience gets the opportunity to ask questions of that speaker for another 20 to 25 minutes. Today, we're going to do things just a little bit differently. Our guest speaker was unable to join us today. And so I am getting this awesome opportunity to sit down and talk with my beautiful wife, Heather, about recovery. She's somebody who's very familiar with recovery, and I'll have her share a little bit of her story if she wants to at some point in this. But we're just going to have a little Q&A, a little back and forth discussion about our own experience, strength, and hope. So what I want to do before we get started on that is we'll start off with the set-aside prayer, and then we'll just jump into a conversation, Heather and I. Dear God, please set aside anything we think we know about ourselves, about our disease, about the big book, the 12 steps, the program, the fellowship, the people in the fellowship, and all spiritual terms, especially you, God, so that we may have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things. Please help us to see the truth. Amen. All right. So I've got Heather here. Heather, tell us just a little bit about yourself before we jump into conversation and Q&A.
I'm Heather. Hi, I'm Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I've been in recovery since July 3rd, 2007.
Awesome.
So I've been married to you for a long time.
A bit longer than that, huh?
Yes. Like 20 some odd years. I don't know. I can't.
We'll be 25 years this December. Okay. So we're coming up on a quarter century between us.
Yes. So, and I love the steps. I've worked the steps and I have a passion for them and I love them and I'm grateful for them.
And you continue to be involved in recovery even after that much time of sobriety. Why is that?
Because I need my meetings. Because I need my steps. I need that daily contact with God. I can't without him. So, and the steps help me in so many areas of my life that, yeah, this is a forever thing for me. So,
and you went into the rooms for a little bit of a different reason initially than say I did. Why did you initially go into the rooms of recovery?
Well, because I found out about your addiction. I felt completely powerless and it intensified my own addictions that I had overcome for the most part. And anyway, and so I went into a room to find some help and healing and really related to the 12 steps just because I am an addict myself and felt that connection with them. So and it helped me find healing in that journey with living with an addict as well. So.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So what are some of the lessons you've learned in the rooms of recovery in your own walk in the 12 steps with your own sponsor, maybe, or with people you've sponsored that you rely on, you know, on a day-to-day basis?
Well, step 1, 2, and 3 for sure. That I am powerless. But he can, and I will let him. I struggled with a relationship with God. And so my sponsor was very key in helping me develop a relationship with my higher power. And really learning who he was so I could do step 2 or 3 I had to recognize step one. And then two was reinventing who God was for me and realizing who he truly was. And then step three, so I could learn to trust him. But I often find myself back in step three, reminding myself, going through one, two, three, surrender. Okay, he can. And then finding out what his will is and trusting in him. I feel like I'm there often. I also work steps 10, 11, and 12, but I struggle probably the most with 11 in meditation and conscious contact with God, but I am working on it. It's a constant work. But yeah, and service. I'm just always grateful to serve and work my step 12. So.
Awesome. You know, in my own rooms of recovery, I often quote several phrases that you have brought to me, whether you learned them in the rooms of recovery yourself, or they were things that God just poured into your head and said, hey, here's something here, or you heard them somewhere else. And one of those is something that you and I briefly discussed before we recorded this, and it's about comparison. And tell us, what is that quote and what does that mean to you? And why does it relate to recovery?
Comparison is the thief of joy. And I actually got that from a talk given by someone in our faith that they were sharing, and it is totally something that I feel like happens a lot in the rooms, in the comparison of, well, I'm not as bad as them, or I am worse than them, or especially with women in recovery, just recently came upon this with women spouses. So this is from a spouse point of view of I was in a meeting and we were talking about full disclosure and lie detector tests and all these different things. And afterwards, some women were triggered by that because I know women, and I'm one of them, who didn't want that, didn't need that. And that's okay. And this woman reached out to me and was like, I didn't need that. Am I wrong for that? And I was like, no, you're not wrong for that. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different path. Everyone has a different way of recovering. And it's really between you and God. Like, and that's where I took it. I took it to God and I didn't need that. And he knew I didn't need that. And that it would cause more trauma for me. And also I wanted to learn to rely on my higher power and not rely on the lie detector test. I wanted to rely on him telling me, you know, what was truth and what wasn't. And so for me, that's my reasoning, but everyone's different. And so I think often quickly that comparison takes away the joy that people find in recovery, the joy of the recovery that they're finding, and how quickly it just goes away. And suddenly it's like comparison and shame and I'm not doing this right. I'm doing it wrong. Or I'm better than them. They're less than me. Or how can they be that dumb? Or, you know, like all these things start coming into your head.
Right. So, that person has more recovery time than me, or I have more than them.
And yes.
Putting myself on a different level than them rather than rejoicing in my own, in the victory that is given to me today, you know?
Yeah. And the path that you're finding with your higher power. Like that's all that matters. And that's really what the rooms are about, is just sharing that so people know, oh, I can find this with my own higher power, not to give advice or to be like, this is how it has to be done. Or that, you know, really that's with you and your sponsor and your higher power to figure out what your path looks like. But yeah, I just comparison, or I'm divorced and they're married and still, or I'm single and they're, you know, like just even those little things, or their addiction is different than mine. I don't get their addiction. I had someone tell me that one time, I don't get your addictions. Mm. And I was like, well, they're real. I promise. I'm not making them up, you know? And it's just, that comparison, when really the root of the problem is all the same. And not doing that, you know, in the rooms with each other, and really just embracing that they're there and that they're sharing and whatever their share is, and not taking that on, like, again, the comparison. So,
yeah. And that's one thing I really admire about you, Heather, is that, you know, when it comes time for you to share or to give feedback or whatever it may be, whether it be as a sponsor, as a spouse, as somebody in the rooms, you always bring it back to this is my experience rather than, well, here's how this person or that person has done it. This is my experience. And I think that helps you and hopefully invites those listening to go, okay, well, I shouldn't be comparing myself or I shouldn't belittle myself or think myself above because, you know, here's this other person who has experienced something similar and this is how they walked through it. Why do you think that's important to keep it in the first person? Because that's something else that we've talked about in the past.
Oh, in shares and first
person. Yeah, in shares and in feedback to maybe sponsees or others who ask questions.
Again, it's my experience. My experience may be different than their experience, and that's okay. And when I share in the I, it teaches me. Like it's me talking to me. It's like and reminding myself of my path or my journey, reminding myself of where I've been and where, you know, and often, you know, I was guilty, especially when I was in my addictions or when I was not well, of putting on my hat and being like, I know better. And this is, you know, and so the minute I start saying you or we, then I'm preaching and I'm telling people what they should be doing and how they should be doing it. And it, that's a turnoff to me. Like I, in meetings, when people do that, they switch to the you and the we, I am immediately like, don't tell me. And that's my rebel in me too. Like, don't tell me what to do. Like, and that's my own judgment. And I have to let that go. And I give it to God during the meeting and like, okay, that's not where they are. And that's okay. You know, again, but it's just so important to recognize everyone has their path. And really, I can't judge that. God loves us all the same. We're all equal. We're all the same in his eyes. And my God, I believe in. And so it's the same with, but we're all different. And so it's the same with the steps to me. It's, we're all equal. We're all on the same field. Like no one's above anyone, but we're all different and that's okay.
I like that. Thank you for sharing that. Are there any other like phrases or catchwords or anything like that, that in recovery or in that in recovery you've learned or you've applied to recovery that help you in other places in life too?
Let's see. Expectations are predetermined resentments. We've talked about that one.
Yeah, talk through that one a little bit. Expectations are predetermined resentments. What does that mean?
Expectations. So when I have an expectation, and then, like, I put an expectation on you. We'll just say you, mm-hmm. and then it's not fulfilled.
Shocker.
Because you're not a mind reader. Shame on you. You need to be psychic. If I have that expectation and then it doesn't happen, then there's that resentment that comes in. And it's already, I mean, when I'm setting up that expectation without communicating the expectation or even just having expectations of people being perfect or people doing exactly what I want them to do is not realistic in that there's going to be resentments. There's going to be those resentments that come. And for me, it's learning to let people be where they are and not that my expectations are right always. That's a hard one for me because I feel like, you know, certain ways, you know, certain people should do certain things a certain way. And that's on me. That's not necessarily true that my expectations are the right expectation. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, it does. It makes total sense. And I even have experienced this other way with expectations being predetermined resentments. Say I've had an expectation and it is exceeded. The what comes back is better than what I expected. Yes, I'm happy about that. But then the resentment comes to me. Well, why didn't I expect more? Why didn't I think that more could happen there, whether for myself or for someone else? And I start resenting myself for not living up to or for not exceeding my own expectations. And yeah, for me, it goes both ways. Yeah, if somebody doesn't live up to the expectations, I've already set up it's a plan for failure. that I'm going to resent them and it's going to make me sick and it's going to, you know, whatever else. But if it goes beyond, even then I'm beating myself up, and it's a very strange thing for me. So what other words of wisdom or experiences do you have that you'd like to share with us today as we get ready to wrap this up? We're just going to have a short conversation.
Sure. I just am grateful for the steps. I'm grateful for some of the slogans, like progress, not perfection. That is one that's big for me. I think it can go again to that comparison that we talked about, where I compare, I have to be doing it perfect. Recovery needs to be perfect. Or I have to do it a perfect way. And really, it's just about my progression and where I'm at. Am I different than I was yesterday? Or am I doing better today than I was yesterday? And that's really all that matters. And it doesn't matter how I'm, you know, going about that with my sponsor, with my higher power, with both of them. And as long as I am doing what I'm feeling led to do by my higher power, then that's all that matters. And it's helping me progress. I can definitely say I'm a different person than I was 14, almost 15 years ago. And hopefully we'll be a different person 15 years from now. So,
No, that's really cool. I've heard people say this, and I tend to believe it from my own experience with myself and observing and walking with others is, and it goes along with the perfection, progress, not perfection. And that is that the only step that I need to, take perfectly is step one. I have to perfectly understand that I am powerless over my addiction and that my life has become unmanageable. That's the only one that is going to keep me sober, is when I recognize perfectly that I'm powerless. All the rest of them are just progress. And what's interesting to me in that saying with the step one thing, perfection in that means that I admit that I am absolutely broken and unable to do it on my own. And so perfection is a broken mess. And I think that's kind of I'm a perfect mess.
Yeah. Well, and there's no shame in that. Like Right. That's, I think the biggest thing, is letting go of the shame of that. Cause that was hard, to admit that I was perfectly broken. And I felt a lot of shame in that. I felt like I needed to be perfect and, or that I couldn't be powerless. I had to somehow, and even people who aren't there yet, that's okay. Like it takes time sometimes to get to that. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Our own journey, that admitting that powerlessness can take some time. But once I got there, then yeah, the rest was uphill from there. So yeah.
Awesome. All right, well, let's start closing this out. Do you want to do like a recovery prayer or a prayer from the heart to close us out once I do this, a bit of this closing reading?
I'm good with whatever you want to do.
Okay. Why don't you think about that while I do this closing reading?
Good at decisions I am.
Yeah. Yeah, think that through while I'm doing the closing reading, and then we'll close out with whatever prayer you want to do at the end. And either you can be voice or I can be voice, whatever you want. All right. Thanks again, Heather, for taking this time impromptu with me to do this short conversation. I'm grateful for it. It helps me in my path, and I hope it helps others. It was a good impromptu meeting for all addicts and those wanting to learn more about addiction and the recovery therefrom. If you want to come back next week, we have a great speaker. I'm excited to hear from her. Her name is Kelly T, and her topic will be From Chronic Despair to Hopeful. She has quite the story, just from the little write-up she sent to me, and I really look forward to hearing it and sharing and having her share it with us all. Now, let's launch off into the rest of our day with what prayer do we want to do, Heather?
I'll just say a prayer from the heart.
All right. A prayer from the heart. Have at it.
Our dear, kind, Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful for the steps. We're grateful for Dr. Bob and Bill W. for their willingness to step into the dark with thee and to be guided. Grateful for the steps, grateful for sponsors, their willingness to share their strength and their hope, and grateful for the rooms that we have to meet in and all the various fellowships that are out there, and guide and direct those who are seeking fellowship, seeking healing, that they will be guided to exactly what they need. And because thou knows better than me, what people need. Continue to guide and direct our feet this day, to serve, to live our step 12, and to continue to keep conscious contact with God, step 11, and step 10, checking in and seeing where we're at for the day, where we can improve. And we give gratitude again for these steps and for these opportunities that we have to share, and look forward to hearing from more addicts via this platform, and give gratitude for their willingness to share. And I say this in the name of my higher power, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Heather. Mm-hmm. And keep coming back, everybody. It works when I work it. So work it. You are worth it.
Seal that I am bound and broken.